You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions. Thank you for joining me today. Blessed are your eyes, is the title of this devotion. Blessed are your eyes. You know, to be able to see what God is showing is such a gift of grace. Jesus said in John chapter 5, I can do nothing except what my Father shows me, and my Father loves me, and he shows me all things that he does himself, and he will show me even greater things than these so that you may marvel. Friends, to have your eyes anointed with the eyes of Jesus offers us in Revelation 3:20 is worth anything and everything. Here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, it says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Friends, it is a horrific thing when you spiritually are blind. It's worse than being naturally blind. You could be naturally blind and yet spiritually see, where you are able to perceive by the inward man what God is showing that is invisible to people who have natural perfect eyesight. And I tell you, I'm so grateful for eyesight. I thank God for glasses. I thank God that I have three lenses in here and it helps me see far and medium, as well as to be able to read. I could not read without these glasses. I would not be able to see the words. And I'm so grateful that these inventions are here. And I tell you, eyesight is such a blessing, but heavenly eyesight. To have your eyes anointed. Jesus says it here in Revelation 3. I'll read it to you right here. Jesus says here, I counsel you, verse 18, to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anointing, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. The Lord has an anointing, a Holy Spirit ability to see. Just like we receive a Holy Spirit's ability to understand, a Holy Spirit to comprehend the Scripture, that the Holy Spirit opens the Scriptures unto us through Jesus. The Holy Spirit also gives us an ability to hear with the heart. We hear what naturally to the ears may not be perceptible, can be understood by the Spirit in the heart, but the Holy Spirit also gives an ability to see where we can see. I mean, friends, Jesus in Luke chapter 19, look what it says here. It says, now as he drew near, verse 41, and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus wept. He wept that the people that were living there could not see. All that had been spoken to by the prophets was being fulfilled in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't see it. And Isaiah prophesied about it. He said, Lord, even if we do your miracles, they will not believe. And Jesus came, opening the blind eyes, cleansing the lepers, causing the mute to speak and the lame to leap and the dead to rise. And yet they did not believe. And they did not see the fulfillment of the Scriptures in him. And Jesus wept as he felt so grieved that people couldn't see it. You remember This is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is around September, October of the year. Many believe that that is the time of that Jesus was born during that time. But I'm so grateful we celebrate it. The Bible does not give the exact date, so that's why we don't need to argue about it. We just need to be thankful for it and celebrate it. But here in the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the eighth day, they had developed a ritual, if I may call it so, where the priest, while the people stood before the Lord, would take a golden urn from the altar and would go down to the pool of Siloam, fill it with water that represented the water that flowed from the rock of Moses in the wilderness, or in other words, it represents the life-giving spirit that comes forth from Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the rock that followed Israel through the wilderness, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And so here they took that water of Siloam, the word sent is the word Siloam, and poured it onto the altar while the people worshipped outside, singing Isaiah chapter 12, which is a very short chapter. Just a few verses. And one of the things that is in that Isaiah 12 is that the Lord's no longer angry with us, but with joy we can draw from the well of salvation. So they had developed this kind of ritual to celebrate it. And while the people were standing there, while this was being celebrated and would sing Isaiah chapter 12, Jesus stood up and with a loud voice said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And as it is written, out of his innermost being, out of his heart, out of his belly will flow a river of living water." And this he said about the Holy Spirit, who had not yet been given, for he had not yet been glorified. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes out of the glorified life of Christ. And then the next morning, Jesus is in the temple teaching, and a woman is brought before him caught in the act of adultery here in chapter 8. And then it says in verse 4 of chapter 8 of John, "And they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?' And this they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground." Now, where does that come from? He wrote on the ground. In Jeremiah's famous chapter 17, he says in verse 13, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters." They just the day before were celebrating this very thing. So Jesus is doing a prophetic act by writing in the dust and saying, if you cannot see, if you cannot see what you celebrate, you are blind. You celebrate something you cannot see. How many people have a form of religion but don't know the power that it represents? And Jesus here is writing in the dust, and thank God those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman and said, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Listen now. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus is saying to all these men standing over there because they couldn't throw a stone, he says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't live in darkness, in hate, in vengeful spirit, in vindictive spirit, in get even spirit, in holding a grudge, in holding an offense, in harboring offensive feelings that are waiting like fiery darts to be employed by the enemy to cause harm to good relationships, to families, to marriages, to homes. Come on, dear friends, hear the word of the Lord. They couldn't see it. Jesus starts talking to these men who couldn't throw the first stone. And he said, if you believe in me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He who is a prisoner of sin is not free, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And instead of them coming to him like the woman, they took up stones to kill him because he was trying to show them that they needed mercy as much as she did. Then Jesus walks out of the temple because they tried to kill him. They tried to stone him. He walks out of this temple and he sees a man sitting there who is born blind from his mother's womb. And Jesus makes mud out of his saliva and puts it upon his eyes and said, go to the pool of Siloam. It's all in the same thought pattern, and wash. And he came back seeing. And the disciples said, now, Lord, was he born blind because of his own sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus said, no, don't look at it that way. Don't always have this mindset. I want you to have a mindset for the works of God. Well, the next day, this man came to find Jesus, right? And in chapter 9, it says, in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast that man out of the temple. And he found him and said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who's talking with you. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. He worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I've come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say you see, therefore your sin remains. Now, what is the powerful point that the Holy Spirit would have us, friends? The blessing of being able to see is a gift of Jesus Christ that does not come naturally. Nobody has some special gift that he can see. No, the special gift to be able to see is Jesus himself. He is the anointing. His Spirit in us opens our eyes to see wonderful things in God's Word. His Spirit in us opens our understanding and enlightens us because he has been made unto us wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. It is the Spirit of life in Christ that opens your eyes to see. Any of us can be blind. We can be so blind sometimes when it's so obvious. Can you not just cover it in love? Can you not just believe the best? Can you just not commit it to God and trust God that the good work he is doing in them, he will perfect? Can you not have a spirit of love and faith and hope for people, and the greatest of these is love? But you can't see it. All you can see is the weakness and failing and harbor on it and meditate on it and talk about it. And then if they repeat it, prove it. You know, I was one day sitting with a man who was a minister in his days. It's a long, long time ago. And we were having lunch, and he was asking me these unusual questions. And I was just being friendly and not responding exactly. I was being friendly, but he kept at it. And I was thinking, no, he's a good man. He'll be fine. Just keep talking. We'll move on. But he kept at it, and he kept at it. And then I finally just stopped. And I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm just trying to tease it out of you. I said, this is iniquitous, what you are doing. You suppose that there's something not right in me, and you're provoking me to do it so you can prove that what you think about me is true. I said, what you think is not in me. And you shouldn't do this. This is wrong. And you see, assumption, presumption, and suspicion are not gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we ought not to judge any man after the flesh, but know that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that of God we are reconciled to him by him making him who knew no sin, sin for us, and him reconciling us by not imputing us. To just have that whole mindset is the very thing God rebuked about the three friends of Job, who said in to whom Job said in chapter 19, verse 28, you have afflicted me with the mindset that the root cause of all my suffering is in me. And that was the very spirit that misrepresented God. And God would have us have a different mindset. A different mindset where we have the heart and the mind of Jesus, and by his spirit can see what God is showing us. Think about, for example, Paul. Jesus meets him on the way to Damascus, where he had was going to imprison Christians, and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is not for you, it is not good for you to kick against the goats. What is the goat? The goat is a long stick with a metal point that the farmer uses to goad the oxen into action. In other words, Jesus said, I've been convicting you again and again, but you've hardened yourself against me. And then Paul said, what do you want me? What wilt thou that I should do, Lord? The old King James says, I love that way. What wilt thou that I should do? And Jesus said, go and it will be told you. And he went into Damascus, into a house on the street called Straight. And he was not eating nor drinking for 3 days, crying out to God. And in a vision, he saw a man coming to him called Ananias, laying his hands on him. That's a vision Jesus gave him. Then Jesus goes to Ananias and says, Ananias, I need you to go to the street called Straight. There is a man called Saul, and in a vision he's seen you coming and lay your hands on him. And then Ananias said, Lord, I've heard about this man, how he's come here with letters to imprison us. And the Lord says, he's my servant. He's my servant. And I love Ananias. I want to be an Ananias in every way, because immediately Ananias shifted his mindset and he went over there and he laid his hands upon Saul and he said, Saul, the same Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the way has sent me and received the Holy Ghost. And Paul became a transformed man because Ananias saw what Jesus was showing him about him. Friends, if we just go on the judgment of people's failings, we will miss some of the greatest miracles of God for precious people. I tell you the truth, we need Jesus to enlighten our eyes daily to see what he is showing us. Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, verse 22 and verse 23, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Friends, it's so important how we look at people and how that affects what lives in our heart. I pray that in your heart and my heart lives the light of Christ's life and love, constantly urging us on to see what he's showing us. In closing, chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 16 and 17. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely, Jesus said, I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. God wants to show you and me the most wonderful, amazing things. You know, I'll tell you something in closing. When I had just gotten born again, I was about 17, almost 18. Almost 18. I think I may have just become 18 in October of 1978. And I had just given my testimony to a group of young people, and I was driving back in the car worshiping and praising. Oh, I couldn't stop worshiping and praising, for the grace of Jesus was so wonderful to me. And as I was worshiping, I had a flash vision. God can show you something in a split second that may seem long to you, but it only took a split second. I saw myself walking into heaven, and the light that came from heaven was like wind. I could feel it go right through me. And as I walked into heaven, I saw my right and left multitudes of people standing in the darkness watching me go. And I began to weep and weep and weep. And I said, no, Jesus, no, Jesus, I don't want to go to heaven alone. And that's what called me to become a minister as I am today. Friends, that is what, 46, 47 years ago now. And I feel like I'm just beginning. And my heart is blossoming with the love of Christ. And I long for more fruit and greater and better fruit for the glory of God that I may bear through Jesus Christ in me, to share this wonderful love, this wonderful joy. And I believe that the Lord will show me greater, greater things of His love for precious souls everywhere. And I believe this is not just for me only, but for all of us who love the Lord, that God wants to anoint our eyes to see what He is showing, and that we're going to see marvelous and wonderful things in this life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day.